Amir Abdullahian, who is visiting Syria, vows a proportionate response to Israel's recent attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. Hello and welcome from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us back to Gaza, where Israeli attacks on different parts of the strip during the past days have claimed at least 38 civilian lives. Six fatalities were reported after attacks on the Nostrad refugee camp and another near Rafah city. More than 33,200 Palestinians have been killed since October the 7th.
He's carried out several belts of fire against the eastern part of the central area of Gaza Strip, particularly the eastern part of Deir el-Balah city. That area actually has been subjected to continuous and to heavy bombardments and attacks of the Israeli artillery shelling and the Israeli airstrikes. Dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian houses also were blown up by the Israeli occupation forces using the explosive devices in the area. Till this moment, as we speak right now, we can hear the sounds of those explosions and bombardments are still booming in that area, and the current situation is still tense in that area. Till this moment, we are witnessing more Palestinian casualties being brought to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital as a result of those continuous attacks. As a result, we have a Palestinian woman who was killed and murdered over those attacks, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian casualties. This number is highly expected to rise with the continuous IOF attacks and the attacks of the Israeli occupation forces against that area. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, as you know, that after the Israeli occupation forces withdrew from the entire city, massive destruction unfolded. In addition to that, more Palestinian dead bodies and corpses were discovered and extracted. Over the last couple of hours, at least 20 Palestinian corpses were discovered and evacuated to the different hospitals.
An official of the Hamas resistance movement says no progress has been made at the Gaza ceasefire talks that are being held in Egypt. The Palestinian official blames the Israeli delegation, saying there has been no change in the regime's stance and therefore no progress has been made. The humanitarian situation in the war-ravaged strip is the main subject of the talks. Hamas demands that the invading Israeli forces leave the strip and that Gazans return to their homes. The new round of talks are being held at the Egyptian capital of Cairo, with delegations from Israel, Gaza, Qatar, and the United States participating in the negotiations. Now, the International Court of Justice has started hearings on Nicaragua's genocide case against Germany for supporting Israel.
In the present case, Nicaragua is invoking the responsibility of Germany in connection with the genocide committed by Israel, and also the responsibility of Germany for the violations of its own obligations under the Genocide Convention and of the violations by Germany of its own obligations under international humanitarian law. Germany is failing to honor its own obligation to prevent genocide or to ensure respect of international humanitarian law. The violations of international humanitarian law by Israel create obligations for Germany, as it does for all states of the international community, obligations for which Germany is responsible and which are being claimed in the present proceedings.
The Nicaraguan ambassador also said German companies involved in the military industry are directly profiting from the situation, as they have seen the prices of their shares rise since October the 7th. Nicaragua has accused Germany of facilitating the commission of genocide against Palestinians by supporting Israel's war in Gaza. It hopes that the case, if won, would suspend Germany's military assistance to the regime. Berlin will present its side in court on Tuesday. The court will likely take weeks to deliver its decision. Germany is one of the major arms exporters to Israel, sending more than 326 million euros worth of military equipment and weapons just in 2023. Journalist and commentator Sandus Al-Assad joined us earlier from Beirut. She believes that only the United States is capable of ending the Gaza war.
The only way that will help the Palestinians in archiving these crimes and these atrocities and ruining the image of the Zionist occupation and the American administration. But we know that such international bodies like the like the Criminal Investigation Court and others, they are ineffective and impotent because they are directly directed and moderated by these Western governments. So yes, it's for the part of exposing the Zionist crimes before the international community. It's something significant, but as I have mentioned earlier, I don't think that they will help the Palestinians and stop this genocide, because the only one that can stop this genocide is the American administration. But the American administration won't and has no will to stop this aggression and this genocide.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has targeted 3 Israeli military sites in the occupied territories in response to the regime's massacres of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Resistance group announced that it had struck an Israeli barracks in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights using a drone. The group added that it had also targeted another barracks as well as a military base in the occupied Palestinian territories. The resistance group underlined that it will continue to target Israeli positions and interests in solidarity with Gazans, who have been under incessant Israeli attacks for more than 6 months now. In recent months, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israeli targets. It has also hit U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Meanwhile, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah and the Israeli military continues to exchange fire along Lebanon's southern border as tensions remain high amid Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Now, Lebanese media say at least 3 civilians have been killed and several others injured in the latest Israeli strikes. Earlier, our correspondent in southern Lebanon, Mariam Saleh, brought us more details on this.
We don't have any details concerning the civilian casualties yet. We're still waiting to see whether we do have a big number, or you said 3. It's not clear so far how many civilians exactly, and from which, if they are children, if there are any women and so on. This is something we're waiting to see. We still saw that there was a lot of heavy shelling on the town of Farkila. Farkila is a bordering town. It had its share of really heavy shelling yesterday and destruction. So the Israelis basically are not just only targeting areas that are further off, trying to kill, trying to retaliate for the blows that are getting from the resistance in Lebanon, but they are also trying to destroy as much as they can in the bordering towns of Farkila and Khiam and Ayta Shab, for example, and Ayta Rud. Hezbollah, of course, has dealt a heavy blow to the Israelis on several regards. They used the Burkan rockets extensively yesterday and the day before against not only the posts, the military devices, and not only use of drones as well. They're also using it against the Israeli military personnel. Even when they try to move at night, Hezbollah has been able to monitor and detect those movements. That seems to be clear from the footage that we're getting from Hezbollah. We're also seeing how the Burkan rocket is causing extensive destruction to the devices, to the posts of the Israelis. That is also something that the Israelis are talking about is extremely costly.
Meanwhile, a young Palestinian woman has died from her wounds after being shot by Israeli occupation forces in the occupied West Bank. The identity of the slain Palestinian woman remains unknown, as the Israeli army continues to hold her body. The young woman was shot at a military roadblock near the city of Nablus. Israeli media claimed that she had attempted to stab a soldier at a checkpoint east of Tubas. Eyewitnesses say the regime forces prevented others from helping her after the shooting. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank have been enduring increased IOF aggression since the onset of the regime's war on Gaza. Israeli forces have killed hundreds of Palestinians at checkpoints or during violent raids across the occupied territories since October the 7th. Vote Day rallies and marches have been held in cities across Canada. Participants in the rallies call for the immediate end to Israel's genocide in the Gaza Strip. Our correspondent Camila Escalante reports from Toronto.
Thousands came together for the annual International Quds Day March in the Canadian city of Toronto to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially those in the besieged Gaza Strip. Palestinian solidarity organizations and communities rallied across from the U.S. consulate, calling on Ottawa and Washington to act urgently to end the Israeli terror campaign and genocide and try to save as many lives as possible.
This is one of the biggest Al-Quds Day commemorations in Canada every year. And this year it's especially important because people are motivated to come out in large numbers to bring an end to this genocide that's taking place in Gaza and underline their commitment to see a free Palestine from the river to the sea and a free Al-Quds, a free Jerusalem, free from Zionism and occupation.
Millions around the world are marching yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all week. Thousands of cities and towns across the globe are making Al-Quds Day an international day, a call for justice and freedom, particularly for the Palestinian people as they are facing genocide and war crimes in Gaza.
The city has continued its heavy policing of pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Just 1 week ago, several participants were injured and six others were arrested in the annual Land Day commemoration by the Toronto police, who were captured on camera using excessive force.
So last week, people must have seen the videos by now, but the police completely attacked a peaceful rally, and there was horses involved, and this is what the police do. They're on the side of the Zionists, they terrorize people. You know, a protest, a simple, peaceful protest, you're not allowed. I mean, this is another example of the Palestine exception. That protest is good, it's a liberal, you know, it's a sign of democracy, except when you're talking about Palestine. You can't do that.
Participants also use Quds Day to condemn a recent deadly attack by the Israeli regime on Iran's consulate building in Syria's capital, Damascus.
Well, Iran has been subjugated to all forms of aggression at the hands of the Zionist regimes and their backers. But the last crime that Israel have done in destroying the Iranian embassy in Damascus, that is a zero tolerance. Iran will respond, and I think that Iran is being called upon by the people to respond against this Israeli aggression.
As the targeted killing of civilians and the starvation campaign continue, a temporary resident visa program announced by the administration in Ottawa 3 months ago has failed to bring to Canada any Palestinian relatives of Canadians from Gaza. Against that backdrop, families and activists are pressuring for a real arms embargo on Israel. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
Now to Afghanistan, where the World Food Program is reporting a staggering increase in malnutrition cases in that country, especially among children amid economic sanctions on Afghanistan. The authority says admissions to clinics for malnutrition have tripled over the last year in the capital, Kabul. Rahmatullah Baghban reports from Kabul.
Afghanistan is now battling an invisible foe that threatens its future generations. The World Food Program has sounded the alarm on the rising tide of malnutrition cases, a crisis worsened by the country's ongoing economic challenges and reduced international aid. Marking the World Health Day, the Taliban's Minister of Public Health expresses concern over the malnutrition crisis, calling for international support.
It is clear that Afghanistan is one of the poor countries in the world. There is no doubt that children and mothers are grappling with malnutrition. We need the support of the world in combating the disaster. I call on the UNICEF, WHO and WFP to continue their assistance to our people with poor health conditions, especially those suffering from malnutrition.
The impact of international sanctions and the U.S. policies cannot be overlooked in understanding the gravity of the situation. That is a warning by pediatricians here in Afghanistan. Years of conflict have severely damaged the country's infrastructure, making it a challenge to provide adequate health care and nutrition to vulnerable groups. Moreover, recent cuts in international assistance as well as the Western-led sanctions are worsening things.
There are also some foreign factors exacerbating the malnutrition crisis in Afghanistan. Afghan assets that belong to Afghans and are meant to support our economy are frozen. We are witnessing a decline in international health assistance, especially to our children. Some international bodies continue to collaborate, but these are not sufficient. Some organizations that used to support families have ended their missions in Afghanistan.
Lots of people like me are coming to this hospital because their children are malnourished. I think everything boils down to a single problem, economic shortcoming. If our family had enough to eat, our children wouldn't become undernourished. People don't have money and they're not receiving aid anymore.
Experts emphasize that the need for immediate aid cannot be overstated. Afghan families are in desperate need of assistance to combat this malnutrition crisis. The international community must come together to provide the necessary resources and support to save lives and alleviate the suffering of the Afghan people. The economic crisis in Afghanistan is taking a toll on the health and well-being of the war-ravaged nation. Advocates warn that without a significant increase in support, the crisis will further deepen. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
And with that, it brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
In the limelight.
The European Union Environment Agency is saying countries across Europe should be prepared for catastrophic risks, ranging from floods to deadly heat waves, as worsening climate change hits every part of their economies and societies. We take a look at some of the World Press and Media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. The European Environment Agency, the EEA, has said in its first risk assessment, Europe is not prepared for the rapidly growing climate risk that it faces. From wildfires burning down homes to violent weather straining public finances, the report says more action is needed to address half of the 36 significant climate risks with potentially severe consequences that it identifies for Europe. The report says five more risks need urgent attention. Lina Ilamononen, the EEA's executive director, said, "Our new analysis shows that Europe faces urgent climate risks that are growing faster than our societal preparedness." The report looks at how severe the climate threats are and how Europe is to deal with them. It says the most pressing risks which are growing worse as fossil fuel pollution heats the planet, are heat stress, flash floods and river floods, the health of coastal and marine ecosystems, and the need for solidarity funds to recover from disasters. When the researchers reassessed six of the risks for southern Europe, which they described as a hotspot region, they found urgent action was also needed to keep crops safe and to protect people, buildings, and nature from wildfires. Robert Biesbroek, a report author from Wageningen University in the Netherlands, who also co-led the chapter on Europe in the latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report on adaptation, said, "There is increasing evidence of adaptation, but it's certainly not enough." Robert Biesbroek said, "It's not going quickly enough and it's not reaching the ones that need it most. It's quite scary in that sense." The report also warns of cascading and compounding risks, which it says current stress tests in the financial sector are likely to underestimate. For instance, hot weather will dry out southern Europe, killing crops and shrinking water supplies, but will also harden soils, making flash floods more likely, and dry out vegetation, meaning wildfires can spread faster in southern Europe. Governments trying to respond to several crises will be more stretched for resources, as will communities that fail to prepare. Blaz Koenig, the head of the European Environment Agency's Impacts and Adaptation Group, said, "The risks are simply outpacing the developments of policies." Europe has heated up more than any other continent since the Industrial Revolution. It has heated about twice as fast as the global average, as carbon dioxide has clogged the atmosphere and trapped sunlight. The researchers looked at two possible scenarios of low and high warming over the century. They did not consider potential tipping points in the climate system, arguing that the effects of such dramatic changes would unfold over longer time periods, and so did not change the urgency of action in the short term. Daniela Schmidt of Bristol University, who sat on the advisory board of the report but was not involved in writing of the report, said, "The geographical granularity that the report offered was important, but questioned whether another report on risk was needed." She said, "Will it increase the action? Will it make people more ready to have more information about what those key risks for us are looking like?" Daniela Schmidt, who also co-led the chapter on Europe for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report on adaptation, said people should understand that governments, cities and individuals had agency to reduce risks, and that actions to do so would come with benefits such as cleaner air and better housing. She said, "How can we facilitate that people know they have the power to do something?" The European Commission said it would present a communication on managing climate risk recently. The European Environment Agency report says several climate risks have already reached critical levels. It says if decisive action is not taken now, most climate risks could reach critical or catastrophic levels by the end of this century. Lena Ilamanonen said, "This should be the final wake-up call." The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. The European Union Environment Agency said on Monday, 11th of March, countries across Europe should prepare for catastrophic risks ranging from floods to deadly heat waves, as worsening climate change hits every part of their economies and societies. The Copenhagen-based body said in its first Europe-wide analysis of climate-related risks, policymakers need to draw up new plans to address the challenges ahead. The European Environment Agency said Europe is the world's fastest warming continent, heating up at twice the global average. Even if countries manage to slow global warming, global temperatures are already more than 1 degree Celsius higher than pre-industrial times. The European Environment Agency said the damage will depend in part on whether policymakers act now to prepare societies, for example, by improving insurance coverage, redesigning infrastructure, and introducing laws to protect outdoor workers from deadly heat. Without more urgent action, the European Environment Agency said most of the 36 climate risks facing Europe could hit critical or catastrophic levels this century. They include risks to health, crop production, and infrastructure. In a pessimistic scenario, by the end of the century, the European Environment Agency said hundreds of thousands of people would die from heat waves, and economic losses from coastal floods alone could exceed 1 trillion euros per year. That would far exceed the 650 billion euros lost to weather and climate-related extremes across the European bloc from 1980 to 2022. Kate Levick, Associate Director of climate think tank E3G, urged governments to respond to the European Environment Agency's findings. Kate Levick said, "There's a particular role for finance ministers to essentially look at what happens to balance sheets in terms of assets and liabilities at national level as a result of climate risk." The European Commission will publish its response to the report in the coming days. According to a draft European Commission communication seen by Bloomberg News Agency, Europe stands to suffer significant economic effects amounting to some 7% of its output by the end of the century, even if the world manages to contain the increase of global temperatures to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The European Environment Agency's report argues that climate change will be even more acute in southern Europe, including Greece, with the average temperature in the continent rising by a considerable 3 degrees Celsius in the scenario of a global rise by 1.5 degrees Celsius. The blueprint further warns that in case global warming exceeds 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, the impact will be even more dramatic, with the European Union economy standing to lose some 2.4 trillion euros from its gross domestic product between 2031 and 2050.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Jannah,
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. Imam Ali alayhi salam in this particular book of Nahjul Balagha has various very, very important discussions, and especially for those who want to increase their insight with regards to social issues, political issues, even with regards to understanding those the social implications of certain actions, and how a person needs to be careful about their actions and the society's actions, so that the right results are achieved when a person lives a certain type of lifestyle. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this sermon, the sermon number 185, talks about certain issues that can help a manager and a leader. And one of them is from the discussions in the 185th sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains certain aspects of how you should take care of your expectations in terms of the results of certain actions that you may perform or you may not perform. These expectations have to be toned and be explained well to both the person who is managing and the group that he is managing.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, أَلَا فَتَوَقَّعُوا مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ إِدْبَارِ أُمُورِكُمْ. He says, O people, expect. Expect what? Expect that definitely certain times would happen where your actions would not bear the results that you are expecting. So expect this situation. Be able to understand and be realistic about the universe, about the world around you. Because not many times you are aware of all the factors that lead to certain actions happening in the universe. And many times it is because of our own, you can say, ignorance or sometimes wrongdoing and lack of critical analysis on what to do and what not to do that leads to such things. So yes, maybe you yourself have taken every step necessary. But then, not all steps that you take are the necessary steps for that thing to happen. And yes, maybe sometimes we make mistakes that we are not aware of, or we are aware of but take it lightly. So he says that, فَتَوَقَّعُوا مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ إِدْبَارِ أُمُورِكُمْ. So expect this, that this will definitely happen. Not that it will certainly happen all the time. No, the possibility of such a thing to happen is there. And this is a necessary thing. The possibility is necessary. Right? That things might not go in your way, they might go in the opposite way. وَانْقِطَاعِ وَصَلِكُمْ. And you may connect things, but those connections that you make may break, may cut off. وَانْقِطَاعِ وَصَلِكُمْ. And then he goes on to say, وَاسْتِعْمَالِ صِغَارِكُمْ. And you might reach a situation whereby in the society, your young children are forced to work. They are forced to be used for labor, for other tasks. Why? Because the affairs are going in the wrong direction now. Now that they are going the wrong direction, other things are happening together. What you have joined are getting cut off. Now children also have to be used in different affairs of the society, in different tasks.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now, Imam Ali says this is a definite possibility. He's saying, do not see that right now everything is going on nicely, you've planned something well, and because of that plan that you've made, right? All the connections that you have made and all the different intricate, detailed plans that you have made are all going nicely in their path and you're enjoying the state, right? But be careful. Expect this to completely become unraveled and to be completely have the opposite results. And why do I say so? It's because there might be some errors that you perform that lead to the destruction of this system that you have made. Or no, you're not aware of all of those factors that can lead to the success of this particular project. Because of that, you need to at least remind yourselves as a leader and at the people that do not always have the highest expectations with regards to what you're doing. Now for this particular situation, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that why does it happen that sometimes things go in the opposite direction? Why the things that you connect, they become separated? Why sometimes society reaches such a level whereby the young children are also forced to work? Why? ذَاكَ حَيْثُ تَكُونُ ضربة السيف على المؤمن أهون من الدرهم من حله. That is when it becomes easier for a person to strike a person and his believing brother with a sword than to earn some money in a halal way. That means halal earning becomes more difficult than fighting with your believing brother. This is a situation of conflict in the society. Inshallah, we shall discuss this about this more in the coming sessions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
We are with you. What about you? Meaningful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Years, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama that are Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. Dear listeners, in this episode of this Ramadan series, we are going to focus on Ayah 104 of Surah An'am of the Noble Quran. This ayah is about insight and deep realization of religion and requirements of time and age. Stay tuned, please. The days of the blessed month of Ramadan are the best opportunity to contemplate on ourselves and the philosophy and meaning of life with regards to the circumstances of modern world. Definitely, improvement and perfection in every human aspect requires full awareness and information on the path to move in. God says in Ayah 104 of Surah An'am of the Noble Quran, "Certainly insights have come to you from your Lord, so whoever sees, it is to the benefit of his own soul, and whoever remains blind, it is to its detriment." Some of the great lexicographers of Arabic language believe that the word basirat, insight, is the belief of heart in a religious issue or a reality. Some others have described it as smartness and admonition. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in Nahjul Balagha, "Indeed, an insightful person is he who hears and thinks, looks and attains foresight, then is admonished, so moves in the clear path and avoids falling in precipice." If one is insightful, he will be able to see near and far in warrens, just as we should be careful not to fall in precipices and traps in spiritual and social affairs too. We have to take care not to be deceived or go astray. Once a man called Ishaq ibn Ammar came to the 16th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, and told him, "I have a neighbor who performs prayer a lot, helps the needy, and goes on Hajj pilgrimage very much. I have not seen any wrong from him. What kind of person is he in your opinion?" Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, asked him, "How is his insight?" The man answered, "He's not that aware and has no insight in religion." The Imam answered instantly, "So he will not gain high rank with these worships either." An insightful person can recognize various currents and encounter them vigilantly. He can discern the plots of enemies and choose his duty towards them. says in the Quran that faith is the most important factor to attain insight. Insight is the means to differentiate between good and evil, between right and wrong. God-wariness strengthens insight and helps the person to act smartly and wakefully. He will thwart the plots of enemies. The father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, had an exemplary insight due to his God-wariness. When he was on exile in Novello Chateau, in the outskirts of Paris, he would not accept private meetings with various personalities, saying, "We have no private place." He used to hold meetings with several persons to witness the whole meeting so that no word would be decreased or increased to the talks. This is what today is happening through compound war and media war. This is called media literacy and considered as a part of insight. Therefore, insight is like having eye in confrontation of various events. Masoud Rajavi, head of the MKO terrorist grouplet, asked for a meeting with Ayatollah Beheshti, who was the judiciary chief in early 1980s. Ayatollah Beheshti accepted his request. Rajavi announced in a meeting that the MKO members were ready to pay allegiance with Ayatollah Beheshti, provided that he accepts their conditions. Martyr Beheshti told him, "Our difference with you is not a superficial difference. It is rather a deep difference originated in basic beliefs. My argument for you is that you don't even know Marxism." Then he read out part of Karl Marx's book, Capital, German, and translated it. He said to Rajavi, "If you refer to the original German book, you will notice that there are many fundamental mistakes in definition of Marx's economy. You have mixed principles under with the name of Islamic economy and Marxist economy and have found your ideology on this basis. This, while you should have recognized, acted, promoted, and explicated Islam according to its own principles." This very erroneous perception of Islam caused MKO terrorists to murder over 17,000 innocent people in terrorist operations, most of whom were ordinary men, women, and children. One of the most indelible stains in the MKO record was the terrorist blast in which Ayatollah Beheshti and over 70 of the companions of Imam Khomeini were martyred. The more one reflects on the ayahs of the Quran and the statements of the Prophet and his infallible progeny, the more he or she will gain insight and the power to analyze events and conditions. We are duty-bound to think deeply on various events and affairs. This will help us to come to a clear conclusion instead of being trapped in hollow and poor analysis. Weak analysis has been the pitfall of many societies and personalities throughout history. Zulkela was among the companions of Imam Ali, peace upon him, but owing to lack of insight, he was deviated and joined Muawiyah's camp and then became one of his commanders. Although he was fighting in front of falsehood, he thought that he was struggling for God and defending truth. Seeing the Prophet's loyal companion, Ammar Yasir, Zulkela remembered the words of the Prophet when he said, "Ammar will be killed by a rebellious lot." This was going to shake him and that of the many of the deceived forces in Muawiyah's camp as they could see Ammar on the other side. When Muawiyah noticed this hesitation among his camp, he immediately answered Zulkela, "Who knows whether Ammar will stay with Ali and not join us?" Lack of insight and deep ignorance caused Zulkela to be convinced and stay with the rebel, Muawiyah. He was killed. Ammar was martyred after him to clarify the truthfulness of the Prophet and rightfulness of Imam Ali and his companions. Muawiyah was happy as Zulkala was killed before Ammar because he knew well that had he seen Ammar's martyrdom, half of the Muawiyah's troops would have joined Imam Ali. This is ignorance and stupidity which extinguishes the light of insight.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish. Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We are at the last days of Ramadan, this beautiful month, time to farewell. Inshallah, we have achieved what we wanted to achieve. The goal was piety, the goal was elevating ourselves towards irfan, ma'rifa, truly knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting close to Allah. This closeness is the biggest goal of a mu'min, because when we do our ibadat, our worships, the intention is always taqarrub ilallah, qurbatan ilallah. So inshallah, we all have achieved our goal. Inshallah, we are more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we used to be. And here now, the very last days, just a couple of remaining points. One of the beautiful hadith says from Rasulullah, إِذَا اسْتَحَلَّ رَمَضَان غَلَّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ. When you see the crescent of this beautiful month, crescent of Ramadan, the new moon of Ramadan, make sure as you see this new crescent, make sure that all the doors of hellfire is closed. So it's a great, great, great blessing. It's time to earn points, to make points as much as possible. It's time, as I once remember, one of the talks I remember, a person came to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba and said, "Oh Imam, I need this and that." Imam said, "Let's go now, and I want to solve your problem right now." Imam Hassan was at that time, he was in Aitikaf. That person told to Imam, "No, I don't want to ruin your Aitikaf." Imam said, "No, let's go now, because if you solve a moment's problem, if you solve a moment's whole as a one, as a whole, a problem, it's equal to doing ibadah, worship of 9,000s of years. It's amazing, beautiful. So consider it, if you do some good things in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Prophet told us, إِذَا اسْتَحَلَّ رَمَضَان غَلَّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ. When you see the crescent of Ramadan, make sure that all doors of hellfire or hell itself is closed, so you're not going to be in hellfire unless someone make haram or something, forbidden acts or something, you know, which is totally against the values of God. There's another beautiful hadith from Rasulullah again, where he says, "Innal jannah mushtaqa ila arba'at nafar." Heaven is waiting, is a heartily waiting for four types of people, and one of those people are wasa'im wa shahr Ramadan, those who fast in this beautiful month, those who love to fast, those who fast with their entire existence, with their entire organs, means with their eyes, their ears, their nose, their tongue, their hands, their legs, those who fast in this month with their entire existence, with the total surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heaven is waiting for them. I mean, heaven shouldn't wait for any of us, but that's how heaven, paradise, loves us, loves those who fast in this beautiful month. So the doors of hellfire is closed, heaven is waiting for you, especially those who fast in this beautiful month. Ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq to do best of best deeds inshallah, and be among those and remain or stay among those who are going to be in Jannah. And may Allah give us or grant us tawfiq or a chance where we can achieve this level or this grade, that we can make paradise who is waiting for us to be there inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq to be in Jannah with His awliya. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This one lay.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me